Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 390, and we're going to continue from last time, where we were talking at the end of the lesson about what God is going to do at the end of time. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 20, we read that, among many other places, where after the captivity, after the tribulation, after the day of the Lord, after the destruction and devastation, God is going to bring His people Israel from all over the world. You see, they're going to be the ones who have survived the Holocaust to come, the super mega Holocaust to come, and the tribulation and all that. And so, they are obviously are going to be extremely glad that God is bringing them out of captivity, out of prison, out of concentration camps, slavery, whatever it may be, and He's bringing them into the land. And all of them are very happy because they think now they finally made it. You see, they survived it and they're going to make it into the land of Israel. Well, here we are going to hear something a little bit different. Because God is not going to allow just anybody into His kingdom. Just like He said, you know, at the end of time when He comes, the Son of Man shall sit on his throne, that is, on the seat of judgment, and He's going to gather all people, you know, the sheep and the goats, you see. He's talking about His own people, in specific. And He's going to allow the sheep in and not the goats. You see, He's going to judge them. So this is what we read here in Ezekiel, speaking about the same thing. In Ezekiel chapter 20, in the whole chapter you read there, Ezekiel is coming before God because the elders of Israel came to him, to Ezekiel, asking him, tell us what God is going to do to Jerusalem, to us, you know, what's our future. They came to inquire of God, and God was very furious with them. He said, I don't want to talk to those people. He says, you tell them about all the evils that they've committed in the past. And so he takes him through the entirety of the story of Israel from the days of Egypt to this very day, which is right prior to the time of the captivity of Judah because of the constant rebellion against him. And then he takes them into the future at the end time when he comes back to reign on this earth. And so in verse 33 he says, as I live, says the Lord God, that's Jehovah Elohim, that's the one that came later on, is Jesus Christ, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. Why? Because you rejected the law of Moses and you went into wickedness and evil. Oh, many of you think that you are religious and good people and yet you have contempt for my law. You see, and that's that means that you are sinning all over the place. You're doing a lot of iniquity, a lot of evil. You see, you're defiling my Sabbath, my holidays, many of my laws. You know, you eat unclean things and you think it's all sanctified, everything is okay because you've been deceived by your false prophets. And you're breaking my law, right and left. And you're full beside of that, you know, full of injustice in your land, unrighteousness, unkindness. In other words, when you depart from the law of Moses, that's what you end up with, a lawless society. A society that where iniquity abounds and the love of many waxes cold. And there are an awful lot of moral iniquities, social iniquities, all kind of iniquities in the land. And so God said, that's the way I'm going to rule over you, because that's the way you behave. And so he says, as I live, you know, he's swearing by himself. Says the Lord God, truly with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. In other words, that's what the tribulation is all about, the trouble of Jacob. You see, as you read in Jeremiah 30, Daniel 12, Matthew 24, that's the tribulation he's describing. The greatest trouble that is coming upon the people of Israel that has never been before and never will be in the future. And then on the rest of mankind. And that's what he's describing here. And then he says after that, well, that is over. Verse 34, I will bring you out from the peoples. That is, a few are left behind, basically about 10% by now. But 90%, yes, it's, you know, as horrible, as tragic as it may sound, as it is. Unfortunately, because people will continue to rebel against God no matter what you tell them, and despise Him, and despise His words, and despise the, you know, the servants that He sends to them to warn them of that, that bring His word, not their own. And so they're going to end up in this condition, unfortunately, as Israel always did. They never listened to the prophets. When they could, they killed them. And they killed most of them. At least many of them. Verse 34, it says, I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out on you and on your captors also after that. You see, so he's going to bring them out of this condition that they got themselves into because of rejection against the law of Moses, which led to immorality in their society, injustice, iniquities of all sorts. And he says, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. What is the wilderness of the peoples? You see, when they came out of Egypt, he brought them into Sinai. Now they come from all over the place, whether it be Sinai, whether it be, you know, as they come from all over the place into the wilderness before they enter into the land. You know, basically, you know, we find the Iraq, you know, portion of wilderness between Iraq and Israel and Jordan, wilderness. You know, he may be talking again about Sinai or that territory where he's going to bring them again, just like he pled, pleaded with them when he brought them out of Egypt. You see, could be the same place. We're going to find out that in the future. But in either case, he calls it the wilderness of the peoples. So maybe it's not Sinai because the peoples, there were many nations there while, you know, around the Sinai. Nobody was around, basically. Whichever it may be, he's going to bring them into the wilderness of the people that's before they cross the Jordan River to enter into the land. And there he said, I will plead my case with you face to face. The leaders and the peoples. Because the leaders led the people astray. You see? It's not only leaders in religion. You have all the secular leaders that were, you know, that taught evolution, godless theology. You see? And it just happened by itself. And, you know, we came from apes and all kind of lies like that and cut people off from God. And therefore, when you're cut off from God, you're cut off from the law of Moses. When you're cut off from the law of Moses, anything goes. There's no such a thing as morality after that. You do whatever you want. You see? You have no moral compass anymore to live by. No law of God. It's not just morality. It's in every area of life. Because the law of Moses deals with construction and agriculture and clothing and entertainment and music. Every conceivable area of life that God told him, if you do these things, you will be holy, and if not, you will not be. And so he says, I'm going to plead my case with you face to face. Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, that's even before he brought them out of Egypt, and then when he brought them into the wilderness, before they came before Sinai, and throughout that period of time, that territory was controlled by Egypt. That's what he's saying here. I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. And when you pleaded with the children of Israel in the wilderness of Egypt, you see, of the land of Egypt, as we call it Sinai Peninsula today, but, you know, there are actually several deserts there that are mentioned in the Bible. Each one had a different name, Paran, the wilderness of Paran, the wilderness of Sin. Well, all of it today is called Sinai. That whole generation did not even make it into the land. God caused them to wander and wander and wander until they all dropped dead, literally. You see? And only the younger generation entered in. Well, he's saying here there's going to be a repeat of that. Because people abhor his path of justice, of judgment, of mercy, of kindness, of righteousness, of holiness, of sanctification. All that which he gave to Moses to give to his people, to make them holy, a bride without spot, without blemish. And they refused that way, because they had always the false shepherds among them. They were thieves and robbers, and they just wanted their own thing. That's what, unfortunately, happened also later on to the followers of Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, you know, in contrast to Timothy, all the other ministers, all the other leaders, all the other shepherds, and obviously it doesn't mean every single one of them, you know, it's a generic term. Just like Christ said, you know, all that came before me were evil. Obviously, he's not talking about Moses and the prophets that he called and dealt with. And so he said, all seek their own, not the things of Christ. Why? Because they're thieves and robbers. That's all they are after. They seek followers after themselves to make merchandise out of them, to enrich themselves. You see them to this very day. You see them on TV. You see them here and there. You see the way they're dressed up, the homes they live in, the rings they wear on, you know, the cars they drive. It's business. That's all it is. And you see it everywhere in the centers of religion. You see the kind of buildings that they have, the kind of luxury they live in, the kind of riches they live in. You don't see the prophets of Israel ever living this kind of life. You don't see the apostles ever living this kind of life. As the Apostle Paul described their life, you know, oftentimes they were naked and hungry and destitute. You know, whatever people fed them, they ate, and they didn't give them food, they went, many times hungry. They went to bed hungry. You see? Because they were not there after the money, covetousness. And so when you see people living a different kind of life, where they have abundance and plenty, you know why. And so he says, I'm going to plead my case with you, all of you. Verse 37, and I will make you pass under the rod. He's going to count them, just like, you count the sheep, a farmer does. And, he would count the sheep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you see. The tenth one goes to God, or as they enter back into their place at night, or as they come out, he counts them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and, depending on how many you had. He says, that's the way I'm going to do it, just count you. In other words, you go in, you don't. You go in, you don't. And that's what he says here. And I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. What covenant? The marriage covenant. The law of God. The Torah of Moses. You can't get away from it. You see? Anybody who tells you otherwise, obviously, he's a false shepherd. A false prophet. And he can justify his own wickedness all he wants. You see? If he makes it to this very point, he's going to stand there and he's going to come under this. If he rebelled against the covenant and told people likewise, he's out. He's a thief and a robber to begin with. And so he said, I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And that was a marriage covenant, and it had terms and laws and statutes and judgments and precepts. That was a marriage agreement that was signed by blood. You see? And a lot of people reject that to this very day because they've been taught lies by the false shepherds. And he says, I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge the rebels from among you. Who are the rebels from among the people of Israel, the people of God? Those who transgress against me. What is a transgression? What did John say, the apostle of love? 1 John 3, 4. Sin is the transgression of the Torah, of the law. You see? Well, those who taught lies, those who taught that the law of God is done away with, the law of Moses is old stuff, not for us, it's Jewish, they are the ones who transgress against God. You transgress against Moses, you transgress against God. Because Moses was an extension of God. He was a mouthpiece of God. He was a spokesman of God. Just like you have a spokesman in the White House, he doesn't speak his own words or any other government agency, you see, they speak whatever the leader says. And so he said, you transgress against me. They think they transgress against Moses. No, you transgress against me, he said, and I will bring them out of the country where they dwell. Yes, I'm going to bring them out of that captivity and tribulation and all that. But they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Eternal. That I am Jesus. I am the Savior. And you're going to find those people both in the Jewish community and the Christian community who are going to face that. And God says, you don't go in. You're out. You see? And so, people have to be very much aware of that. A lot of people have been deceived for so many years, for so many centuries, that they just take it for granted. The lies are truth, and truth are lies. As God said through Isaiah, warned to them in chapter 5, that called light darkness, and darkness light. You see? And they call the truth lies, and the lies become truth. And that's what the false shepherds have done. That's why Christ said, all those that came before me, that's what they've done to the people. They are thieves and robbers. They came to kill, to destroy. Not to build, but I came to give life. You see? And that's what Moses came to give them, life. He said, look, I set a way before you. You got two choices, the way of death or the way of life. As we'll come to it later on in the book of Deuteronomy. But he commanded them to choose life, not death. Not do your own thing. A lot of parents in their ignorance, they think, well, I'm going to tell my kid, what kind of religion to be in. When he grows up, he's going to make up his own mind. Well, that's a sure way to have him destroyed even before he began his path and journey into life. Such ignorance, when God commanded us through Moses, that when you know that the Lord God is your God and is your only God, you don't have any other gods before him, and then you shall teach your children, when you love your God with all of your heart and mind and soul. Now you go on and teach your children just exactly the same. Don't let them do their own thing. You see? What do they know? They just follow other, you know, silly people. Ignorant people, as ignorant just as they are. You show them the ways of God. You teach them by work, by deeds, by example, by word. And people are not doing it because they too have been deceived. You know, you do your own thing. Come as you are. Do whatever you want. You are accepted before God. You know, just have that general, you know, ethereal belief in God. You know, and you believe in Christ and you're under faith and you do a few things, you know, that you're supposed to do and be moral, you know, to a degree, at least to a degree. And you're okay. Yeah. God says, you know, you're not kidding me. When you transgress against my law, and as James said, if you broke one of them, you broke them all. Where are you going to find yourself at this point? God says, you're not going to enter into the land of Israel. You're not going to enter into the land of promise. You're not going to enter into the kingdom. Why? Because you are goats. You're not sheep. You see, and the goats are without, outside. Only the sheep of Jesus Christ, the righteous, are going to enter in, those who obey the law of Moses. Those who do not claim that Christ is a liar when he said, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah. You see? There are a lot of liars out there because they've been lied to all their lives and that's all they know. Otherwise, they may be sincere and devout and good people and righteous to a degree and moral. And what a tragedy. You see? And so God is going to execute his vengeance in specific over the leaders that have led his people astray and his children astray throughout the face of the whole earth. And there is going to be a lot of mass executions all over the earth. And so that's what you read in Psalm 149. At the end, it begins with, praise the Lord, praise the Eternal. And this is Jesus Christ. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. The people who are going to enter into his kingdom, into his land. You see, speaking specifically about Israel. And obviously, the ones who have been his servants all this time, they are not going to be entering into the land of Israel as physical human beings because they do not come out of tribulation, captivity, and all that, like the others. At least most of them are not, you see. But they are going to, at the coming of Christ, are going to become spirit beings. From mortal, they are going to be changed to immortality. But you see, the rest of the nation, the people of Israel, they are going to be brought back. They are too a part of the wife, part of the bride. And they are going to be washed and cleansed and purged and purified, and God is going to put His Spirit in them and write His laws in their hearts, make a marriage covenant with all of them. You see, the entirety of the body of Israel, some of them spirit beings, and the majority physical beings, on their way later on, they continue to walk in that path to become also spirit beings. You know, it's a process, it's an ongoing process, it's a continuum from beginning until the end. And so, he's talking about the saints here. The spiritual one and all those, also the physical ones who are going to receive the Holy Spirit, and so in that sense they become spiritual. It says, let Israel rejoice in their Maker, let the children of Zion be joyful in their King, let them praise His name with a dance, let them sing praises to Him with a timbrel and harp. They're going to be very happy at that time. And they would be if they were righteous, and they were not righteous, they aren't going to be happy. Because they know what's facing them. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He never rejected them. And yet the false prophets of Israel told them lies and got them to the point where they do not even know that they are Israel. And when you bring this knowledge and understanding to them that they are Israel, not only biblically, but historically, and an awful lot of books, there are many there, including in the Congress, in the Library of Congress, including in the libraries of England, you see, Library of London, all over the world, where the children of Israel are, there's an awful lot of information there, historic information of who they are, but you see, it's not to the advantage of the false prophets that they have to let them know that, because they do not want to lose them. They don't want them to go back to the religion of Israel. Otherwise, they'll be out of a job, and they'll be proved to be liars. Well, this day is coming when they are going to be exposed for what they are, and then it'll be too late for them. But as for the people of God who are going to return to God and acknowledge all their lies and deceptions and repent, he says, let them praise His name with a dance. Let them praise and sing praises to Him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble, you know, the one who is going to submit to Him and acknowledge his lies and errors and repent and not claim that he's righteous, he's good, he's doing okay. As Paul said, you know, the person that thinks that he stands to take heed lest he fall. Well, these are humble people or meek people, and the meek shall inherit the earth, as you read in the Sermon on the Mount, a statement that was recorded also in Psalm 132 and verse 16. And so it says, he will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings and with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. All the captains of industry, all the captains of the civil government, of religious government, all those in authority, all those who abuse people, all those who despise justice, all those who despise the fear of God, the law of Moses, the teachings of Christ, which are the same as the law of Moses, magnification of it, because he's the one that gave it to Moses, the words of the prophets, and have brought a lot of evil on this world, and are still doing to this very day. This is their fate. And the saints will be given that sword to execute that vengeance on them, you see, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles, all the high and the mighty. That's their fate. And to execute on them the written judgment. You see, this honor have all his saints. Praise the Eternal. Praise the Lord. You see, the people are going to submit to the law of Moses. But Christ told them that unless you come back to the law of Moses, you're all dead. They're going to be the ones who will be the saints. And they will be given the sword, and they will go and execute judgment, you know, justice and judgment on others and vengeance. And there would be those of them who are going to be spirit beings, you see, and they're part of the bride. And then all the rest who are still physical, and obviously, they too are going to be given a measure of this power, as you read in Isaiah 11, the people of God, and Obadiah, and many other places. And in Zechariah 14, when Jesus Christ returns, when the God of Israel returns, the Messiah, it says, Judah also shall fight in that day. And all the enemies of Israel that are coming against Jerusalem are all going to be zapped and wiped out and destroyed and killed. You see? That's going to be their fate. Who despise the law of God and come to fight him and fight his people. You see? In Isaiah 11, you read about Joseph. That's the children of Israel. Joseph was the one that reigned over the entirety of the northern kingdom. And they're basically today the British people, the English people, Anglo-Saxon people in terms of England, the English people, and the United States, and Canada, and Australia, New Zealand, you know. These are specifically the children of Joseph. As for the rest of the children of Israel, they're in northwestern Europe, and many of them joined Joseph in the land of Israel. That means in this land of Israel, America, because many of them came from all over Europe. You find all the tribes of Israel heavily represented in this country, as it was in the days of Joseph, when all the children of Israel went to Egypt to be with Joseph, who took care of them. That's how you find it today. You find an awful lot of Danish people, Danites, Irish people, Danites, and men in Denmark are not Danites. They're Jews from the people of Judah that were taken to captivity, and so the land of Denmark anciently was called Jutland, Judaland. And you find, you know, the French people here, and you find, you know, all kind of northern, northwestern European nations here, the white men, so to speak. That's the reason why they're here also. They're coming to Joseph. But in either case, Joseph, all the nations of Israel, as they're brought back to their land, they're going to clean the land, purge it, purify it, remove all the squatters that claim to be today, you know, the owners, they claim, you know, the rightful ownership of the land of Israel. They call it Palestine, and all the Arabs have claimed that's their land. And God is going to purge and cleanse and purify the whole land from the Euphrates. That's going to be a chunk of the territory of Iraq, or much of Syria, all of Lebanon, and all the way down to the river of Egypt. You see, that's a part of this story here. But he's talking also in general about all the nations of the earth, all the rulers, all the people on the face of the earth, all the rich that have abused others, all those who have taken advantage, corporate world, you see, that have abused the many, enslaved the entirety of mankind, you know. They get all the money, and the ones at the bottom, they get the peanuts. That's what God is going to do to them, because that's not justice. They have not been executing justice. They did not rule. They did not do business in the fear of the Lord. You see? All that is what Moses was saying there, what God told Israel through Moses. And this is what God is going to do, because He is the King over all the earth. But unfortunately, His own people do not know that as they should, and they constantly rebelled against Him. And they did not live by the law of Moses, and there was no justice in the land. They did not rule by the fear of God, the leaders, be it the civil or the religious leaders, and the people followed in their footsteps, and therefore iniquity was everywhere, and it is to this very day. And Isaiah was sent to his people, one of the very, very few prophets, true prophets. He's the prophet of God, he's not the prophet of Israel, you see. In contrast to all the prophets that Israel had, men-made prophets, these were prophets of God. And that's the difference between the two. And a lot of ministers out there, they are the ministers of the people, but they're not the ministers of God. Though they claim to come in the name of Christ, you see. Or they claim to come in the name of God in Judaism, you see, the rabbis, and they're not. They're their own men, their own people, that teach their own things, their own vomit. And they've been always that way from the beginning of time. That's what God constantly said about them through the prophets. That's the reason why oftentimes they kill the prophets. He couldn't send them, and to this very day, had they come around, they would have killed them all over again. And so, the prophet Isaiah, when God sent him, he gave him this message, Hear, O Heaven, chapter 1, verse 2, and he spoke in the days of the kings of Judah, Hezekiah, Ahaz, Jotham, Uzziah, and all these kings. And so, he gave him this vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of these kings. And this is what he says through him to all of his people. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Because remember, Moses told them, I am making the earth and the heavens a witness against you, that if you do not follow these commandments that I give you, this law that God gave me, which was called the law of Moses, you will perish. And so he's calling to mind this very witness, the heavens and the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Not Isaiah, not a man, not me, not any true prophet of God that speaks the words of God, not his own words or his own interpretation. The Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And why do they do it? Because their leaders lead them astray. You see, that's the way it begins. Because the parents are not doing their job. Because the parents themselves have been led astray by the leaders and the religious leaders they had. And that's the way it goes. It's a chain reaction. It's a vicious cycle. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel, and for that matter all mankind, because God created all mankind, Israel, the nations of the earth, they do not know, my people do not consider. And had they studied the law of Moses and walked in it day and night, as He commanded them to, as God told Joshua, this is the book of the law, that's my law, you see, and Joshua meant Jesus, God the Savior, and the one that spoke to him also, his name was Jesus, God the Savior. Only at the time he was called God the Savior, and later on he became known as Jesus. Jesus means Joshua, Yeshua, God the Savior. People don't realize that. So one Joshua speaks to another Joshua, you see, and that's what he told him. This is the book of the law. On it you shall meditate day and night to have success in life. There is no other way. And that's what the founders of the nation, of the United States, of the Republic say. There is no other way to govern people or nation without the Bible. They knew these words, but look at the nation today. You see, they constantly debate in the Supreme Court whether you can put the Ten Commandments here or there. That's how far we departed from the vision of the Founding Fathers. Had they known that, they would have never given their life, never fought. They would have rather remained under King George than end up as this United States has ended up the way it is today. You see? That's unfortunately the way Israel always degenerates. And so God says, that's the kind of people I have. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. That's smarter than my people. Imagine that. An ox and a donkey are smarter than his own people. That's what he's saying. And that's what Moses said about his own people Israel at the time. Because God told him to write that in a song. This is a people that is unwise, foolish. You see? They're not wise. Because when you depart from the law of Moses, from the truth of God, you become a fool. You think you are wise. Whether it be in religious matters or in civil matters, you become a fool. That's why this world is in a mess that it is, and God is going to totally clean up the whole mess. He's going to come after the leaders who are responsible the most for bringing it to this point. And so he says to his own people. And that was, unfortunately, the constant predicament of the nation and the condemnation that God had against them, again, you know, because of their evil deeds, which were the result of rejection of the law of Moses. So that was the state of mind in verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. What is iniquity? Lawlessness. What is it that Jesus Christ said? Because iniquity abounds, Matthew 24:14, the love of many shall wax cold, and people shall turn against one another. And that's what they do. And to this very day. And what is it that he said to the people that come and say, "Hey, Lord, Lord, where are your people? We've done all these works in your name." He says, "You depart from me. I don't even know you, because you are people of lawlessness. You are people of iniquity. You have rejected the law of Moses, my servant." You see, that's the foundation of all. And so he says, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Eternal, the Lord. They provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. And because of that, he says, look at all the problems that you have. He says, why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more, no matter how much he gives them the truth. His word, they despise it. Even the people that go to the synagogue and read the law of Moses, they come out of the synagogue and live a different way of life. You see? And how many of them are really genuine? He says they will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. That's the result of that rejection of the law of Moses. And the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. And that's the state of the world in which we are. And the nations of Israel, problems, problems, problems. Big ones and small ones, all over the place. That's how God described it. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Why? Because the leaders continue to rule unjustly because they rejected the law of Moses without the fear of God. The spiritual leaders are teaching lies and deceptions, you see, a mixture of truth and error, vomit in the sight of God. And so God is not in their circles. He's not in their path. He's not blessing the people. You see? Why should he? Well, they're being taught to rebel against his law. And so they do their own thing. And so we read in verse 21, in terms of the city that is symbolic of the whole nation, or in terms of all the nations of Israel. You see, if you come to the Washington, D.C., you read about Washington, D.C., the capital crime of the nation. What made it that way? Because of those who sit in the Congress, the leaders, and those who are in the churches and the synagogues. They have all, from the point of view of God, rejected His law, the law of Moses. And so you find the consequences in the streets. Verse 21, he says, how faithful city, how the faithful city has become a harlot. Speaking about Jerusalem, it was full of justice. How do you fill it with justice? You obey the law of Moses that taught you what justice is all about. The law that Jesus Christ gave to Moses, that he received from the Father, the El Elyon, the Most High God. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers of all sorts. Murderers of people, murderers of character, thieves and robbers, you see. People who hate one another within the Congress, that's what you find. They always fight one another. That's an adversarial relationship that they have there. That means a satanic relationship. That's what adversary means. You see. And that they're all abiding by the very law of Moses and therefore governing in peace and all in agreement. All fighting one another like cats and dogs. And God calls them murderers. And all over the earth, they're that way. Whether they are in the seat of politics, civil government, religious government, educational, entertainment, business, anywhere, They're all the same. And that's the reason why the greatest calamity to fall upon mankind is coming soon. And 90% of humanity is going to be blotted out from under heaven in one fell swoop in a very short time. And the 10% that are left behind, God is going to cleanse and purge and purify them and remove all that wickedness in their heart and mind. And He's going to face them. He's going to bring them in and plead with them face to face. And they're not going to be playing games anymore, claiming, oh, there is no God, or, you know, my God is a different God, or whatever it may be, you see. All of them are going to know, and I'm going to be playing games at that time, and after what they went through, you see, they're not going to be in the mood to rebel. They'll be in the yes, sir attitude, you see. And so it says, because of that, because they have not followed that law, now you're full of, you know, no justice, no righteousness. And now a lot of murderers there. The leaders of the nations are the ones that send you to war and kill many of your sons and daughters and create all kind of policies in the land. You know, they allow, for example, the tobacco industry to be in existence when they know that they kill over 400,000 human beings and all over the earth likewise. They export all this vomit everywhere. They know all that in government. What do they do about it? Nothing. And for that matter, many other things. Tobacco is just one thing. The whole food industry, the chemical industry, all that is killing us. That's why so many people are sick with so many evil diseases. The leaders are responsible for it along with the people. And so he says, you become murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine mixed with water. A lot of cheating out there. You see? Cheap products. Your princes are rebellious. The leaders are rebellious, be it in religion or civic government. And companions of thieves. You know, they constantly debate, you know, the contribution, election contribution, you know, all those things. Well, why do they have to do things like that? Because they're all thieves, that's why. Everyone loves bribes. That's the only way you get elected nowadays. And that's the only way you stay there. Catering to selfish interest. So everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless. Nor does the cause of the widow come before them. They don't care about the poor, the destitute, the homeless, the orphans, the elderly. So much of the nation is in poverty in spite of all the riches in this land, and for that matter any other land on the face of the earth, that very few concentrate all the riches of the land in their hands, and the rest of the people in abject poverty and misery and suffering and sorrow, and death and sickness and disease. But he's not talking only about Jerusalem, just an example. That's the whole earth is like that. Verse 24, consequences of this. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries. My people became my adversaries, my enemies, and take vengeance on my enemies. And he's calling his own people. And the God of heaven and earth who created all of us upon the face of the whole earth is calling his children my enemies because we have rejected his law. You see, the law that he gave to Moses, that was amplified as time went by the prophets and his own disciples and him in person when he came in the flesh. He says, I will take vengeance on my enemies and I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy, and I will restore your judges, just like we read in Moses, the three scriptures there. You shall make unto yourself judges and officers, and they shall rule in justice, you see, in the fear of God. He says, I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitents, those who repent, those who turn away from evil. You know, in the world of Christianity, they call them born again. And Israel, among the Jews and the Jewish community, they call them those who balei tshuva, that means those who return in repentance, come back to God. Her penitents with righteousness. And in contrast to that, he says, the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the eternal shall be consumed. God is not going to be playing games anymore with his people. Either his own people, the chosen people, the people of Israel, that includes the people of Judah, and all the nations of Israel that today think themselves as Gentiles, are mostly into Christianity, and the rest of mankind, because he's the God of the whole earth. You see? So, look at the end results because of not only those three scriptures that we read in Deuteronomy, but the entirety of the law of Moses, because God, you know, he gave them a law to make them righteous and happy and blessed upon this earth, and they have rejected it, and the leaders led them astray, and to this very day we're in the mess that we are. It's not a coincidence. There are causes and there are consequences. Cause and effects. Leaders don't do their job in any field of government, authority, or society. You see, the people follow, and everybody's in a mess. And God, in essence, is saying, I'm sick and tired of all that. And that's what's going to happen in the future. Utter destruction of all wickedness. And so this is what we read here. And then let's continue to Jeremiah, where the prophet is voicing, in essence, the words of God. He's not speaking his own words. This is God is speaking through Jeremiah, as you will see. That's what God is saying. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Just like he came in the flesh and said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often, you know, I wanted to gather you, you know, as a chicken gathers her hen, but you would not. That's what he's saying here through Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of my daughter. In other words, his people, for the slain of the daughter of my people. Why? When people reject the law of Moses, then they become thieves and robbers and murderers, and there is no justice in the land, and the poor, and the oppressed, and the afflicted, you know, and the innocent people, or the helpless people are taken advantage of. Evil is everywhere. And that's what he's saying here. This is God crying. And Jeremiah is just recording the words of God. He said, For the son of the daughter of my people, all that I had in the wilderness, a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, spiritually and physically, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They're all liars. That's what they say about politicians. Every time they open their mouth, that's what they're going to do. Lie. Even if what they say is a lot of truth there, they're going to inject some lies in it. Generally speaking, not all of them are that way, but the majority are. Because that's politics. You don't say the truth. That's what diplomacy is all about. You don't speak the truth. You camouflage it in all kind of nice words. You see? And you don't mean what you say. And you deceive people that way. And they do it in politics. And they do it in advertising. And they do it in every area of life. He said, that's the way my people have become, and that's the end result of rejecting the law of Moses. There is no truth in the heart anymore. We are taught from a very young age to be liars, to be deceivers, even children. Learn from a very young age. You speak the truth, you get in trouble. So you've got to go lie. And they lie everywhere. He says, they're not valiant for the truth on the earth. That's not what they're after. I think, you know, that's not smart to be, you know, say the truth. You wouldn't be able to sell anything if you tell the truth. Nobody's going to buy it if you tell them the truth. You see, unless it is really a good product. And oftentimes it's a mixture of good product and bad things in it. But you're not going to tell them about the bad, just about the good. In every area of life, that's the way it works. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Eternal. So he's the one speaking here. Everyone take heed to his neighbor. And do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. In other words, they're all liars. They're all going to cheat you and deceive you. And every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have told their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. And your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. That's what the business community is all about. A lot of it is based on deception and lies. And some facts and truth, which makes the whole thing a lie to God. You see, your dwelling place, he says, is in the midst of deceit. Lies are everywhere. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Eternal. He's the one speaking here from beginning until the end. And therefore, God basically says, I'm going to bring punishment on you. You see, when you reject the law of Moses, as Jesus Christ told his own people at the time, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see? And that's why he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. That's the whole gospel. Repent. Just because he came and died for us doesn't mean that we're going to be saved by that unless we repent. Otherwise, his sacrifice would do us no good. And we are just kidding ourselves. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Continue next time. Again, Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until then.